Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And today, what I'd love to talk to you about, Heaton, is the idea of nurturing talent internally versus hiring proven talent externally, right?
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
So there's this, you know, when you're a startup, you put together a small team. Typically in the early days, it's a group of incredibly entrepreneurial people, high risk takers, you know, high bias towards action, and usually maybe erring on the less experienced side of things. That's the typical startup, I would say, in many, many cases, but more kind of generalist type of people that can just pick up work, fix things done, get shit done, and they don't need to have like a 10-year career in an area in order to be able to tackle it and progress it and move it forward, right? As the startup grows, there's I think always going to be some value in like having these super entrepreneurial generalists as part of the team, but you start becoming more specialized and you hire more people that have done a certain job for a few amounts of years because your expectations are higher and now you're not a scrappy startup anymore. Now you're like a little business that's growing. One thing in particular that I'm interested in is like the leadership perspective of this. Like, you know, you'll have people inside of your team that have a lot of talent, a lot of potential, and have the desire to grow as leaders, but are totally unproven, have never managed people, have never grown a team, have never hired people. And then on the flip side, you know, so you can nurture talent to become more, you know, to grow into leadership roles within your company over time and invest heavily in seeing if they can go from being a specialist or somebody that, or not a specialist, but somebody that's just doing an individual contributor to growing into a leader in the company or a manager in the company. And you coach them into that transition or/and you just look for outside talent, people that are proven leaders or managers that are maybe a year or two ahead of where you are, and you bring them in, and those people already know how to hire people, how to interview people, how to manage them, how to coach people and build a team. And you benefit from the education and the development they've gotten somewhere else, right? And you just hire that in. And I know there's like different school of thoughts and conflicting thinking on this, but we've never talked about this, and I'm super curious about this subject. And I'll tell you in a second why, maybe to set the stage. So in general, I've always been a sucker for potential and talent, and I've always been excited about helping somebody grow as a person. So whenever there was somebody in my team that wanted to grow in a leadership position that had the desire and the ambition, I've always leaned towards having a bias of pouring a lot of energy into that person to help them get there, right? Would get a lot of fulfillment out of helping people getting there. But at the same time, you know, having done this many, many times now, I know that it's not like having somebody that's a great individual contributor and that has the desire to grow into a leadership role and having me as a coach, these three components are not enough to make this work all the time, right? It's a hit or miss. Sometimes it works because this person has leadership potential and management potential because it's not just a desire, but they're really committed to it. In those cases, it's an amazing kind of experience to see and to see how these people grow. But there's been many cases where people wanted to grow and I wanted to help them when we worked together and they failed or they didn't really do a good job or they didn't really learn fast enough and I wasn't able to help them get there. And that's a very costly exercise that takes a lot of time and energy and resources out of other things I could be investing my time and energy into. So, you know, I always felt that it was like a hit or miss exercise, although I always tend to want to do it. At the same time, I've seen how incredibly valuable it can be when you go and you find somebody that's gone through this exercise on somebody else's dime, you know, and has grown, you know, in a way where they're like a year or two ahead. So the thing you're trying to accomplish now in terms of like building a team or something, they just went through that exercise 2 years ago and they succeeded in it and they're doing really, really well. And you bring them in and it's like these people are from the future. They come in and they have such clarity on what to do and how to do it and who to hire and who to bring in and how to build the team. and you see like the amazing value that those kind of sometimes external people can bring to the table, that I've now gotten more and more used to looking for outside talent, not just for inside talent, to grow in the company. And we were recently in like a, I don't even know what to call that, like a workshop session in Boston with a bunch of SaaS founders. And one very experienced founder was like, I don't even bother training people to be managers anymore. I don't know how to see if somebody's going to be good at that or not. I go and I hire proven managers somewhere else, because trying to nurture somebody to be a manager, and then if they're not good at it, it costs so much time and money. It's such a deadly thing for your culture and your company that I'm not even bothering anymore. I just go out and I hire proven people for management positions, and that's the way I do it. So I wanted to talk to you about this and see your thoughts, your experiences nurturing leadership talent internally versus hiring it externally. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's all about context. When you're small, you probably can't even afford a senior manager or a manager that's done it before. And so you have to get away with learning it yourself as a founder.
Right.
One of the founders, or both the founders, or all the founders, depending on how many there are and how you structure it, have to become managers. In fact, all of them should, is my opinion, if you want the sort of company to be really healthy, because then you have founders who have the most equity stake in the company, as an individual at least, even in the long run, learning how to become managers. Not all of them might want to. So that is something to think through, obviously, but that's actually a big question and a big point. At this point in startup land, in business, management is becoming more and more important. And the reason I say that is, gone are the days of software where you just put something out there and it just works. Now you require the management of individuals in order to make it work, because there's so much competition out there, and so much, the bar is a lot higher on getting stuff done that people love and which will grow a business. So I'm taking it back to that, Steli, because I want to start by saying, if you're a founder, if you're the CEO, if you're running a business and you have other founders, having this discussion with everyone is important. Is management something you want to do if you've never done it before? Is it something you want to learn or not? Because if you can have that conversation early, that's going to determine a lot more about who's managing and how you decide on whether you grow managers, so to speak, or you bring in managers. For me, the context is still, it depends. That seasoned founder, I have a ton of respect for him. I actually agree with what he's saying, in the sense that if I need management to happen tomorrow, all of a sudden in my company, which ends up being the case in a lot of companies, it's very likely I either have to do it, my co-founders have to do it, or we bring in someone who can do it in that area, right? And that's definitely something where it's very rare to see a company that has growth, is doing well, and doesn't have managers. I mean, the other piece of that discussion we had was, do you have a flat structure where there are no managers, whether it's product managers, marketing managers, head of marketing, whatever? And I'm pretty against thinking that a company can scale without proper hierarchy and structure, not necessarily rigid like a corporate structure, but just in time, proper management layers, or not even layers, but proper managers and a system of management earlier than later. And so for me, I really love the idea, if you can afford it, or if you feel like you need it tomorrow, to hire someone experienced. That's my take on it. That being said, it really depends on the founders. Some companies, the founders become the managers and they do a great job. Some companies, they don't do a great job and they try, right? And it just doesn't work. And they should have probably brought in some level of managers earlier. And in other companies, I think there's a good deliberate conversation that happens between the founders of who's willing to do it and who's not. I think the worst thing to see in a company is a CEO who doesn't want to be a manager but is stuck in the position of CEO as a founder or whatever. That's like probably the most terrible spot someone can be in. And I'm not saying you replace a CEO or anything. I'm just saying the consciousness of who's doing management, how does managing work at your company, are all important things. And then on the flip side, when it comes to like growing managers, if you start learning what management looks like, if you start really learning like how your company should do it and you get good at it as a founder or a business owner, you then start being able to see it in other people. So I guess I'm a little more optimistic than that veteran founder by saying that like there are people that I've seen really grow into it really well. And it does take, you know, I don't like things that take time, but it takes years. So if you're willing to spend that effort on somebody or they've been in your company long enough and you start testing them and putting them in those positions, or even within a few months, you see that they can do it, you start giving them the opportunity, you will have someone who has started out with your culture as an individual contributor, a person who's individually doing work to growing into a manager role. And they tend to have a much stronger cultural bias towards the company and the alignment with the culture. And I really highly value that. So when you can find those rare opportunities of people like that, I would be looking for them all the time. That doesn't mean that you don't bring in people from the outside that already know how to do it.
Yeah, I think there's a ton of really interesting points here. And one thing regarding the discussion that we had that I wanted to bring up in Boston, but I didn't, was the idea of like no managers versus managers, flight structure and all that, is that in my observation, people will in settings of it, when there's a group of humans, there's going to be some social roles that people will just assume if they have a title or not, right? And oftentimes, somebody's going to act like the leader of the group, even if the person doesn't have the title, if in that group there's no title for that, right? Just like sometimes, depending on the situation, if you read the book Tribe, where he describes that sometimes people will take on like a very harsh, dominant leadership role, or sometimes they're going to take on a very like nurturing leadership role, and kind of both these energies, that nurturing that's usually associated with, you know, the feminine side and the dominance and aggressiveness that's associated with the male side of things. These are not naturally like just attached to a man or a woman. That, you know, if there's a group full of men, depending on the situation of the crisis, some men might take on a very nurturing energy versus somebody else takes a very aggressive, dominant energy. And in a group full of women, the same thing will happen. Like, it's just inter-human social dynamics. And I feel like oftentimes in those company teams that I've seen, in teams where there's not clear roles, people will still do the roles. They'll just not have the title, you know, of that role. Somebody will assume responsibility. So I'm with you on the, I do believe that there needs to be like some structure and some leadership for teams and growing companies to work really well. Now, the thing that I'm always conflicted about and what I've experienced oftentimes, and I'm curious about to hear from you about this, is that I think that I've definitely seen that oftentimes people don't know, people feel like they should want to become managers because that is the way the world works. If the, like people go, I want to be a really important part of this business. I want to be a really impact, like have real impact in my life. Hence, probably I need to become a manager. And that's a lot of times the reason or the motivation behind people thinking they should grow into a leadership role is either because they think they want to make more money or they want to progress in their career, or they want to have maximum impact or influence, and they think that's the only route to take. And a lot of people that have that type of thinking are not necessarily, they don't like managing people. They don't like the job of being a manager. They don't like the job of being somebody that has to do people management, but they think they want that position because they think that's the only position that is progressing them in their career and their life. And I know even there was a company, I don't know, I want to say it was Moz, but I don't know if I'm wrong about this, but some, you know, kind of well-known high-profile SaaS company, there was a whole blog post on like having two career paths that you show to your employees that are, you know, equal in pay and in impact. And one is like a people management path, and the other one is like whatever, an individual contributor path. It's like becoming a senior architect versus being an engineering manager, or being like having like a career path where you can grow as an individual contributor in influence and pay in a similar same way as a people manager without having to become a people manager, and how important it is to offer people two career paths in that way. I've seen a lot of people be terrible managers, but absolutely, you know, scream and shout that they want to get a chance to be a manager. because they want to grow and because they want all these things. But it was clear from day one, this person doesn't enjoy communication. This person doesn't enjoy managing people. So the only reason they want this is because they want to, of course, they want to grow and change. But is this really a good investment for the company to do? So how do you think about, like, what's the balance between spotting potential to nurture somebody into a management role, but also evaluating their motivation if they come to you and they say, hey, I want to grow into a management role. This is my ambition in this business or in this startup. Help me do that. How do you kind of evaluate what their true motivations are and the reasons why they want to do this and if those reasons are good or bad?
Oh, man. It's a tough one because one of the key reasons behind this is, like, if I'm a manager, I'll make more money. And
yeah,
that's the most common reason why people want to become managers, not because I'd be good at it.
Yep.
Or I really want to stop, writing code, right? Or, yeah. Or there's all these reasons. And I think for me, I just dig in hard and say, hey, you want to be a manager? Why? And then figure out what path makes sense for them. Depending on that, right? Usually it's like, if it's an engineer and they want to be a manager, it's like, well, there's not actually that many engineering managers at most companies, right? There's a lot more individual contributor type engineers. So then it's like, okay, well, if your answer is you want to make more money, let me give you a path so you get more skills on engineering. And let's say you go into data science, right? Or something that will give you a career path so that you make more money, but you're still an individual contributor because you're better at that. So it's to me, it's about convincing someone there's still a path for what they want, even if it's not management. And you can tell usually by telling them, let it not be me, but let me introduce you or let's have a manager come in here and tell you about what their day looks like. And if that excites you, even though I think it probably doesn't, we can consider it. So those are the two kind of tactics that I like to use, but I don't think I have a generic answer. For me, it's more of an approach because there are a few different reasons why someone would want to be a manager. It's not always just money.
Yeah, the money part I think is easier to address. The part that is tough to address is when somebody says, "I know that I'm not like the greatest people manager right now, and I know that there's some things about management that are like intimidating to me or maybe not natural. They don't come natural to me, but that's why I want it. I want to grow as a human. I want to grow as a person." It sounds like a good reason, but it's very unclear to me if this is the right reason, if this reason is going to be strong enough to sustain the pain of really changing as a human, which is just in general, when people want to grow into a position that will require them to change as a person, I completely believe in change in humans, right? I've changed myself dramatically, right? So I completely believe in it, and I love to see it if it's a positive transformation and change. But I'm also, I've also seen it enough times fail that I know that just somebody rationally saying, I'd like to change is not enough. Oh, I'd like to lose weight. That's not enough. Like, I'd like to lose weight and here's a book about like a diet. Those two components are not enough to guarantee change, right? There is a real commitment that needs to be so much stronger than the pain the person has to go through to change. That it's hard to gauge. So I'm always, that's the one reason for wanting to become a manager that's for me really tough to figure out. And like, I'd have to spend a lot of time with a person to understand how strong is that motivation really? Is this like a nice idea or is this a complete commitment that they have? And it's tough to tell sometimes.
So I think the way I would say this is like, if someone's really that adamant to learn, you teach them. So I think a recommendation that was given in the workshop that we were in Boston was the 1 Minute Manager.
Yeah.
And it was a book.
Yeah.
So you would start by having the person read that. Okay, you want to learn? Here, read this. You think you can do the crap in here? You know what I mean? Or read the equivalent book, right? The only reason I like that book is small and it's short. And then go from there, right? So give them opportunities to really get into it, but don't make your company depend on them being able to manage.
I love that. All right. I think that we're going to wrap this up on this end. If you guys have experiences nurturing people into manager positions, hiring external managers, the good and the bad, book recommendation, anything, we always love to hear from you. So shoot us an email at steli@close.io and hnshaw@gmail.com or tweet at us We always love to hear from you. The other day, I was in a co-working space, and a lady knocked on the door, opened the door, and was like, "Are you Stelly from the Startup Chat?" I was like, "Yes." I'm like, look at my laptop working. She's like, "Oh, I love the podcast. I'm listening to this, that, and the other." And we exchanged information. She's a very successful founder and runs a very interesting company. You know who you are if you're listening to this. So it's always, we're always excited to hear from you guys. So let us know if you have any feedback or ideas. And make sure to go and give us a rating, 5 stars and a review on iTunes. The more of those we get, the higher iTunes ranks us, so the more people get to discover the podcast. Hopefully it's going to be useful for and valuable for everybody. All right, that's it from us for this episode.
Bye.
We'll be right back.